You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Of course, Nathan Zgur, Matt Wilhelm, and the kid here. We'll go to the phone lines quickly before we go ahead and get to the Friday forecast. Ken in Centerville, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Hey, I wondered, before I get into the forecast, I wondered if you guys had seen or anybody had informed you about Bart Scott, used to play for the Ravens and Jets. Really dissed the Browns.
Did you watch the video? I know Bart, and I actually texted him last night. Did you watch the video?
I did.
Or did you just see the headline?
I watched the video with Sims on Chris Sims' show.
Yeah, right. So it wasn't – the headline made it sound like he hid in a bathroom to avoid being signed by the Browns. He came to Cleveland to sign a contract to play for the Browns, and as he was
here – Or was it a visit that potentially turned into an offer?
He was going to sign. I asked him about it. He said he was coming here to sign, and he was pissed that the Ravens didn't offer him a deal. And then as he was here about to sign, Ozzie Newsome called, and then they made a deal. So they told him, you know, just hang out in the bathroom until we finalize it, and you're good, and then you can leave and whatever. So that's what happened. But, yes, it was an interesting story, and certainly not one that was flattering. But from his standpoint, he wanted to be with the Ravens. He got a better offer from what he thought was a better team. But he was coming here to play for the Browns. I mean, he had told me that when I worked with him. I was 1 minute away from signing with the Browns.
And then didn't he almost come to the Browns out of retirement?
No.
He did, to come last year.
Because
he knows Pat. He knows Pat from his days with Baltimore and also with the Jets. That was it. You had enough, huh?
Dino's, you know, he's on top of his game today.
He is. He's like, I got the quick trigger, Dan and Ken.
Ken just, as you guys were talking, Ken just kind of was talking, and it was like he was having his own show.
This is the show for the people. Not going to lie about that.
For
is.
The people.
True
by
that.
The people.
True that.
Of the people.
Yes, indeed. All
We'd
right.
We'd never let the kid in the studio if it wasn't for the people.
That's right. Dan and Ken, what's up, brother?
Hey, I don't always agree with what Mike Pettine does, but I agree with this starting Austin Davis, because Johnny just recently played against the Bengals, and now let's see what Austin Davis can do against them.
See, the reason that I would have wanted to see Johnny is because I saw him play against the Bengals. I saw him struggle, especially in the second half, and I want to see, has he really made progress? This is an apples-to-apples comparison. The variables have been isolated, same team, same opponents. Let's see what progress has been made. That's just my thought.
If Johnny doesn't work out or he does work out, and they need to know what Austin Davis can do, too.
I think it's much more important.
Right.
I hear you on the Austin Davis thing. I think it's much more important that we know what Johnny can do. He's our first-round pick.
It's apples to apples.
What?
It is an apples-to-apples comparison of Johnny and Austin Davis.
Sure, but if you're this organization, I think it is much more important to know if Johnny Manziel can play than Austin Davis.
Let me ask you a question. At this point, would you be happy? I mean, let's say Austin Davis lights it up for three games in a row. Are you going to want to go into next season with Austin Davis as your future quarterback?
I kind of see Austin Davis as possibly a Brian Sipe.
I mean, Austin Davis got released by a team that their backup quarterback is Case Keenum, who's maybe one
and
of
their
the
third string is Sean Mannion, and their starter is Nick Foles.
And by the way, nobody else, the entire league, had a chance to sign him. I know his numbers look like they're good. It hasn't translated to wins and losses, and you know, I'm not really too high on Austin Davis being the quarterback of the future of the Cleveland Browns. And maybe Johnny isn't either, but let's go ahead and find out once and for all. And if it's not Johnny, then let him hit the street. And I don't care if we get anything for him or not. I just don't want to be talking about it anymore.
I hear you.
With Johnny?
Yeah, let's just see once and for all if he's...
Define it.
What would you trade him for right now to Jer?
A fifth.
A fifth?
Maybe a sixth.
What would you trade it for?
What do you think he's worth?
To Jer? I think you got to at least get a third.
Well, I mean, maybe if you
I don't think that's going to happen, though.
Maybe if you get Jerry a little bit liquored up, then he'll give you something more. But, I mean, come on. Nobody's giving you anything for the guy. They're going to wait
why?
For you.
Why?
What do you mean, why? They're going to wait for you to release him, or they'll throw you a friendly here. Take a fifth so you can save a little bit of face. Nobody's giving you anything for the guy.
No.
I don't know if I agree with that.
It's not enough value.
Then there's no point to just hang on to him.
Why? If he's not going to be your starter, I don't want him here as a backup.
I agree.
And you don't want him
that,
here as a backup. You don't want him here as a distraction.
That's what I mean. Is a backup is a distraction.
That's why I want to know if he can play, because I agree with you. If he shows that he is his peak is career backup, he doesn't need to be here because he brings too much with him. I totally agree with that.
But then you're going to demand a third.
Well, you got to try to trade.
I mean, I know Sasha Brown is a good negotiator, but come on.
I think you could do it. I'm telling you. I think it can happen. 216-578-0850. Let's bring in our producer now, Dave DiNatale, for a little Friday forecast.
Number one.
All right, guys, what would you rather have happen in an NFL game? Get blown out or lose on the last play of the game like the Browns and the Lions have done this week?
Let's ask Wilhelm that. As a player, from a player's perspective, would you rather just get the doors blown off, or would you rather be in a close game that you lose at the last
second? It's an interesting question because and two things immediately pop into my head is, A, the disappointment of losing on a last second play because it was right there in your grasp and you felt and started internally celebrating victory. There's a hangover associated with that, right? But there's also a significant amount of learning that you can do on how to close out a game, or why that scenario arose, or what play could you have made, or what play call could you have made, you know, and there's a handful of them because you played so close to victory. Sure. On the other side of the coin, when you get blown out, that's where you hear coaches talk about, well, let's just bury the tape, and you can't draw anything good from that because there's so much bad, so much wrong, so much to be fixed. And in some cases, you don't expect you expect some of the carryover of the bad into the next week. So that's why you very rarely see a good football team get blown out. That's why last night it was no surprise to me that the Green Bay Packers minus, you know, three of their five starters on their offensive line, and, you know, Jordy Nelson and Eddie Lacy and I having a night, it was no surprise to me that a good organization filled with winners came back and made it a game and put themselves in a position to, what do I always talk about, make that next play that wins you a football game.
And that they did.
That was great analysis. Mine's a little simpler. Depends which side of the number you're on.
Unbelievable.
Damn window.
Let's go back to Ann Arbor. You and I were there. Would you rather have had Michigan lose the game in the unbelievable fashion it did, or just have lost that game
to Sparty, lose by 30?
Or just lost 28-10?
No, I would rather have the unbelievable fashion, and here's why. Because at least for 3.5 quarters, I was engaged and it was a good game. I mean, unfortunately, I have the comparison of last week was much more frustrating because it was a whole game of us getting our
teeth. And we set you back like 2 years.
No, you didn't.
Especially in recruiting as well.
But
how are you going to sell that to a kid?
We'll sell it. You're going to come right in and you're going to play right away.
It's good. And you'll take your bruises and then they become like wounds.
We'll see. We'll see how Jimmy
can recruit.
Scars.
In any event, but no, I would rather have it the close loss because at least you had the enjoyment all the way through.
I agree.
And you felt like you had a chance.
I agree. What about you, Dino?
Yeah, I would rather feel like I have a shot to win. I would have rather had a close game than get blown out.
I agree. All right. What's up
I
next?
I agree. Number two. Simple question, guys. What's the key to the Browns offense Sunday when they take on the Bengals?
Lots of injuries for the Bengals. I don't know what
Gino,
it's gonna,
yeah, get Geno Atkins out of there.
I don't know what it's going to take, really. At this point, the Bengals look like a runaway freight train, and we look like a two-wheeler with a flat tire.
I think this is one of the football games to me where, you know, the Cleveland Browns have to go to break the norm and go out of their way to try to steal this victory. And that's where I'm talking about. Maybe we have a special teams touchdown, or Mike Pettine goes for it on fourth down multiple times to keep drives going, to try to steal points, to steal a possession, keep the Bengals off the football field, a fake punt, and a surprise onside. And maybe, you know, I'm pulling everything, every rabbit I can out of my hat, but it's at that point. We need to they're a better football team. They're better coached. You know, yes, it's going to be at our house, but we have to do something to make this interesting because I think the longer we keep this a game, the more engaged the 46 men that will be up for the Browns will continue to play at a level seeking a victory. They haven't had that in a long time.
I think the key is to score touchdowns. Don't kick field goals. If you have an opportunity to get down there,
score or have more points than they do when the clock strikes zero.
That's the captain obvious.
Yeah,
I think this team needs to be better in the red zone and score touchdowns.
Dynamite drop in, Monty.
Thank you, sir. That was a great sounder.
Thank you. Yes. Yes. If you get a dynamite drop in, you know you did well.
Yeah.
All right.
Number three.
What impact, if any, do you guys expect from Terrell Pryor against the Bengals? Will we even see him?
I don't think we'll see him. Zero impact.
And that's something that I guess we should have got to much sooner, because I think it's kind of crap at this point that we're not going to see him. Because for Terrell Pryor, give Terrell, if he's off the streets and no one else signed him, he's still very raw. He's still very in this offense and understanding the terminology to be able to come and grasp it, you know, to the extent that he
right,
did
he
in training.
Be familiar with
but
it.
My point is, it's again, give him 12 plays.
At least.
Okay, give him 12 and two that you might run more than once, right, in a football game, and give him an opportunity to make a play. Because that was what all the intrigue was about. In training camp was playmaker, playmaker, playmaker. You can't teach 4-3. You can't teach 6-4, you know, 240 pounds. Can he catch or not? That I don't know. Put him in a position that Austin Davis can throw a faith throw to, or a 50-50 ball, and let him go up and get it one time in favor of the Cleveland Browns.
I agree. I'd like to see him. Why not? You know that he, or at least you feel that he understands the playbook.
If Marlon Moore gets 42 reps, Terrell Pryor, can he get 12?
Can you get him a baker's dozen? 13 reps.
Please.
I'd like to see
Come
it.
Come on.
I don't think we will.
You're right. Number four. All right, so it looks like Tyler Eifert's not going to play Sunday for the Bengals. Now, assuming he doesn't play, who's going to be the biggest challenge for the Browns defense?
I'm going to go ahead and say the combination of Hill and Bernard, just because we haven't stopped the run in what seems like 10 years. And they have a pretty good offensive line, so I'm going to say the running game, stopping the running game.
I think Andy Dalton, you know, has been playing his best football, as Jeff Hobson shared with us earlier, because everyone's been healthy. So he'll be without Eifert, his number one guy. But A.J. Green, for the longest time, has been the standard there and the standard playmaker, and had the best rapport with Andy Dalton over the course of the last 4 years. So I think he may divert from Eifert because he's injured, and go to Green and maybe force the football in that direction. And as we know, the Cleveland Browns have been susceptible to the big play time in and time out.
I think the biggest threat is the ground game, the reemergence that we've seen at running back of Jeremy Hill, Giovanni Bernard as well, that two-headed monster. I think they can control the game.
Does he know it's December?
That is a strong, strong outfit. A guy just came through in like a white linen blazer.
White linen blazer.
Nantucket
like
reds that
plaid
linen plaid as well.
Shirt. Yeah, it's like, whoa, hey, bud, it's December in Cleveland.
Oh, my, is all I can say.
I want it. You know, he's got a tropical frame of mind.
Good. Go back there.
Feliz Navidad.
Yeah, Milikaliki Laka. All right, finally, guys.
Number five.
Let's move away from Browns-Bengals, and I'm going to actually move this question up here for the forecast. Tomorrow is all of the college football conference championship games. We'll know Sunday who's going to the college football playoff. Give me the four teams you expect to get in.
I'll give you the four teams I expect to get in are Oklahoma, Alabama, Michigan State, and Stanford. And by the way, if I was voting, as much as it pains me, I would have Ohio State as the fourth team once Clemson gets knocked off by North Carolina.
Because I think that's going to happen too, by the way.
I do too. And I'm going to go with a very similar.
Can North Carolina not get in, even with that win?
They had such a bad. They played two FCS teams, and like this committee is so against the FCS teams that they could, but I don't see it. I think the committee will say, oh, Stanford. I mean, but all I got to say about Stanford is they lost.
One more time than anybody else.
And they lost to Northwestern, who played two good teams. And I'm not even going to say we're that good of a team. We've been 40-0.
Why wouldn't North Carolina, as a one-loss team, leapfrog all those if they beat the number one team?
Because they didn't. That was the only win they have of any substance.
Too little,
believe
too late.
Me, I think North Carolina could win the national championship. If they got in, I'd pick them to win.
Come on.
I love them. They got a great quarterback, and they've got a great receiver.
All right, I'm going to go Oklahoma, Bama, Michigan State, Ohio State. Two teams get in from the Big Ten.
I'm going to go Alabama, Oklahoma, Iowa.
No way.
And Carolina.
Wow.
Come on.
Carolina.
Wah, wah, wah.
What about you, Dino? What do you got?
Give me Alabama.
I'm not a college football man, let me just say that.
That's okay. Right, Alabama, Oklahoma, Sparty.
Okay,
Sparty will
so does Iowa have no chance in this game?
They're only a 3.5-point dog.
I think Michigan State's going to beat them by a couple of touchdowns.
I just think Michigan – I think the
– Dino's going to the window.
And the fourth team, I don't think the Buckeyes are going to get in.
What about Carolina?
I mean, the truth is
so Clemson, nobody thinks Clemson's winning this game? Not one person?
No. No, but I think Stanford's the four. I think Stanford will –
What's
will
the line in that game?
5.5. We maybe have to make
5.5.
5.5 there, Dino. Okay. I'm just talking my window picks out.
That's
here.
Amazing, though, that everybody thinks they're going to lose.
Is this a square
is
window?
Is that a public win?
Or is it rounded at the top?
I believe it's a rectangle. I believe it is taller than it is wide.
Pretty square.
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, it's got to be wrecked.
You're right. Wrecked.
I've seen windows that where it's like they're kind of rounded. They have the little hole that you kind of talk through, you know, because you know there's, you know, something you're stuffing through the glass.
Yeah, it's that type of thing.
Okay.
All right, I got one more for you that comes from GI George Dino. I want you to weigh in on this as well.
Okay.
I think it's a good one. This is a very much for the kid. Chip Kelly will be the head coach of the blank next year.
Philadelphia Eagles. I don't think that Jeff Lurie will admit if it turns out to be a mistake. He's got a big ego. I don't think he'll give up on 1 year, and I think the same from Chip Kelly's perspective. Like, neither one of them will want to admit that they were wrong, and I think he'll still be there next year.
I agree with you, but to make it fun, I'm going to throw something out there, and I have no
don't
information about
thunder.
This, but I'm going to – okay. I think that Chip Kelly is going to be the head coach at Notre Dame because Ooh. Brian Kelly is going to be in the NFL next year.
Wow, that's a great
mic drop.
Kelly swap. Kelly swap.
Wow.
Kelly swap. Dino?
Wilhelm, I love that.
All right, I'll go
Eagles.
I'll go next.
Chip Kelly, the head coach of the Eagles.
You think the Eagles?
Yeah,
so
stays.
Two Eagles, one Notre Dame. Chip Kelly will be the new head coach of USC.
They just hired a guy.
Just hired someone.
He's going to come available, and he's going in. Didn't they hire the guy that's on their staff already?
Yeah,
the interim guy.
Who cares? Chip Kelly.
That's a terrible prediction, buddy.
You know nothing about college football.
You know nothing, Jon Snow. You don't think if Chip Kelly said, I want to come to USC, that they would fire this guy and say, okay?
No, I don't think they would.
Really?
If they had any inkling that he would have, they would have just held. Why they didn't have to announce this guy?
If
as a
they
coach.
Didn't, if they didn't hire the guy from Georgia at the U, I would have loved
Rick?
Chip Kelly to go to the U.
That's where I was going. I wanted him to go to the U.
That could have been a return to the glory days of the U.
Yeah, I don't know that. I I'm a big Chip Kelly guy, but I don't know that would have been the best mix in the world.
Why?
I just don't think – I think that he's better off
Chip Kelly's
on the West
a little
Coast.
Too rigid to recruit down.
Yeah, I think
to
he's
the
a West Coast guy.
So I'm trying to get him to USC, man. They blew it.
By the way, I think that's a terrible hire, the guy they hired. But
Hinton?
So why wouldn't they take Chip Kelly? If Chip Kelly said, all I want to do is coach
why
USC.
Why would they announce that now? They could have announced that.
Fire him.
They could have announced that in
They should have waited.
It makes no sense to me.
But they did it. Bozo of the Week nominees, the Trojans. All right, we'll be back. Final thoughts on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.